WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hey, it's Monday, which means we're talking all about Monday Night Raw, and exciting things happened on this show. They did.
They really, really did, including a new U.S. championship belt.
Which, can we just talk about that first?
That's why I brought it up.
Okay, all right. Personally, I don't know if I'm going against the grain or with the grain, but I like it. I think it's very, very nice. It's very pretty. It's very well designed. The TV shots of it did not do it justice of how nice it is. When you actually see the pictures of it without the glare of the lighting, it's a really, really nice title.
And that seems to be part of people's issue with it, is that it doesn't stand out from far distance. Up close, it looks really good. Zoomed, you know, far away, it looks just okay.
It kind of has like a modern retro vibe to it in terms of the imagery. I don't know if we can throw a picture of it up on the technology screen or not, if we're allowed to do that. But
give me a moment.
But yeah, it's a very, very nice title. I will say, yeah, it isn't going to stand out like the other titles do, but that's okay. Because you're going to get the gist because you see the red, white, and blue on it. You see the eagle on it from far away. And you're going to kind of get the indication that it is the U.S. championship. I like that it's different from the women's and the men's titles and from the tag titles, that it does stand out in that grouping. When you see it, just like the Intercontinental title, you're going to know that is the United States championship because it is different. So I do like that about it a lot. I just like the eagle with the flag and the whole look. I love the mix of the silver and the gold and the color and everything like that. I think it's really nice. Props to whoever designed it.
It looks nice. Let's see, what was the description? Apparently it's a taking a cue from an older Bob Backlund title, supposedly.
So yeah, definitely retro look.
But it stands out. It has the side plates, so everyone can have their little side plates. It's sell more side plates for people because reasons. And yeah, it's time the WWE style got made over. Because it was basically just a flag and gold, and this one has a little bit more pop to it, so.
Brent! Point, but Brent! That's mean!
To be fair, this was finished in May.
That's still during COVID.
I understand this, but this was just, it was probably in the works long before COVID.
Oh, it probably was, but they waited until it was good to go before they put it on TV.
Yeah.
Unlike other people. Anyway, yeah. So it's a very, very nice title. Again, yeah, they're moving more towards the side plate stuff because one, they want to sell more, and two, it makes the titles much more interchangeable as opposed to the little nameplates. The side plates are much more visible, so you can see the symbols and know who the champion is when you see the title, even though it's generally with the person. But if you just see the title on its own and you see the side plates on it, you know generally whose title it is. So, and it's good to do a refresh on them once every few years, or once every, like, what do they do it? Every 5 or so years, they generally refresh the titles?
Depends. That belt's been around since what?
The U.S. title? That U.S. title?
That U.S. title's been around since, what, 2003?
It's post-Spinner. That's the post-Spinner title.
But that was that was the same title, though, before Spinner, I think.
Was it?
I think that belt's been around since 2003.
It's been around forever, and they didn't really put a lot of thought into it when they did it initially, because it was a title that they had picked up from WCW, and so they just kind of, I think, redid the WCW title.
No, the WCW title had no color, real color to it, so that became full color.
Yeah, they kind of bastardized it a little bit, I think. I'm trying to remember what it looked like, and I can't honestly tell you. The only U.S. title that stands out to me is Cena Spinner, because it was the circle. Like, it was the full circle, and it was really cool looking. And then they went to whatever it was next. I think it was the title that they were using before the current one. And it was just like, they were like, we don't really give a crap. It's the U.S. title, because I think, didn't it get retired? And they brought it back?
No, I don't think this one ever got retired.
I'm trying to remember, because I know they did like a huge merge of the titles and then they split them all apart again.
The IC title was always merging with everything. US title, when it came back in 2003 for SmackDown, it never got merged. I think this has been the only version of the belt.
Except it was high time it got redone.
Except for the spinner, because I can't find anything.
Yeah, the spinner was...
Something called.
That was a remote, I think. Anyway, it was not my phone. Yeah, that was a remote. Anyway, so this title, basically what we're saying is they didn't put a lot of thought into it initially, aside from when Cena had the title and they redid it in the Spinner title, which that was really nice. He held it for a long time, and then it got retired. That version of it got retired, and they brought the current previous version in. And they just kind of threw it out there because it's like, it's a secondary title. I don't think they really gave a crap about it. And they're just like, whatever. It's here it is. Here's the U.S. title. And now they've actually put some thought and effort into designing it to making it look nice. Because I think on the last go-round of the title refreshes, they didn't do the IC title and the U.S. title. They did the tag, they did the world, and they did the women's. But they didn't do the secondary belts. And a lot of people had a problem with that because they did not do the secondary belts. And this go around, now they're getting their due because they've done the IC and now US. So,
and I believe they have tag team titles made. They're just not ready to use them.
Are they going to get rid of the pennies?
I think at some point we're going to, but I don't know when. Anyway,
whenever they feel like it. I mean, I don't think it's a priority right now. I think they wanted to get a new US title out there because they just refreshed the tag not that long, or did like a really light refresh of the tag.
No, we just got
one of them.
We just got the Intercontinental title.
Right, we just got the Intercontinental title, but they just did something to the tag titles, like,
yeah, they're
last
silver.
Year,
they're,
2 years
they're
ago.
They're silver now. It was a Raw, yeah. Smackdown, or silver. It's been a while. I don't know.
Anyway, they do the titles when they want to refresh them. This is a nice refresh. This is definitely an upgrade for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate it does not show up well under the current lighting, but that's, I think, just proximity to the lights in the
building.
In the building. If the lighting was higher, the lighting was better, the building was bigger, it would probably show up better, but because the ceiling is lower, it's a smaller building, so there's more light around the title, and it's pretty much all metal. It's catching all the light, and you really can't get a good glimpse of it. If you go to shop, there's a replica of it on shop, and you can see it very, very clearly and what it looks like, and it's very nice. It's very pretty. Like, the whole middle section is like gold, and then you have the eagle, and then you have, or gold or silver, and then you have the eagle with the flag and stuff. And it's just, I like it. I'm a fan of it. I know a lot of people out there were like, oh my god, it's terrible. And it's like, well, that's your opinion. I jokingly said there's an eagle on it. I don't know why anybody would hate it. All everybody screams about whenever they do a new title is that they want to put an eagle on it. So, boom, there's your eagle. Right there. It's winged. It's flappy. It's flying. I mean, it's an eagle title. We should all be happy, right?
So MVP right? declared himself the U.S. champion, so because he brought out the new belt, and he's going to fight Apollo Crews at the pay-per-view. So that's a thing. Ricochet came out. Him and Cedric Alexander took on Lashley and MVP. MVP and Lashley got the win. No shocker there. And it seemed like maybe we may have another member of the group, and you know Cedric Alexander. I mean, you know, never know.
I'm kind of okay with this. Because MVP is doing wonderful things for Bobby Lashley. I would love to see him do wonderful things for either Cedric or Apollo or Ricochet or anybody else that really, really needs help and gets them back to the forefront of Raw. Like, that would be really wonderful to see.
Randy Orton, Andrade, and Angel Garza took care of the Big Show and the Viking Raiders.
Can we just talk about how serious Charlotte and Andrade is getting? I mean, I know they're engaged. But, like, it's getting serious because Rick's working with Andrade on TV.
Yeah.
Can we just, like, discuss that? Because, yeah.
That's becoming a thing.
That's becoming a thing. I still feel like Ric Flair, at his age, probably should not have been there. But that is entirely his choice, and he's free to do whatever he likes. I am certainly not going to tell the man no, but that's just a little distressing, given what's going on in the world right now. It's like, eh!
Also,
I don't know about that.
Also, Randy choking Garza to get him to get his shit together, basically. That was interesting.
That was interesting, yeah. That was, yeah. When mom isn't gonna do it, dad, I guess, is gonna come in and take care of it. I don't know. To me, that was a little much. It's just a smidge much. But I guess it works, because somebody's gotta get Andrade and Angel back on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And if Zelina's not going to do it, Randy will do it.
Mm-hmm. Billy Kay beat Ruby Riott, so Ruby's losing streak continues.
I was really kind of thinking / hoping that maybe Liv would come out and help Ruby, but I don't think so.
I think it's coming at some point. And also, Ruby lost her hair extensions.
In the match.
Yeah, so that was something.
She got snatch bald, y'all. It happens.
She did. It does, in fact, happen. Randy Orton ran into the ninjas, which was interesting.
And R-Truth,
yeah.
Yeah, and Randy's just like, not in my house. Y'all take that somewhere else.
Kevin Owens made his return to Monday Night Raw. He hosted the KO show with Seth Rollins before the KO show started. Apparently, Aleister Black was taken out by Rollins and his disciple, Buddy Murphy.
Because Austin Theory is still unwell.
He's still unwell, yeah.
Or he's not there, whatever.
He's just not there at the moment.
He's on vacation. That's where he is. He's on vacation. How did the mask get on Aleister Black? That's what I want to know. Did he have it on? Or did they put it on him and beat him up?
Or they beat him up and then put it on him?
I'm not sure what's going on there. There's some kinky weird things going on with this cult, and I'm just trying to figure it out.
Kevin Owens basically turned down Rollins for, you know, not being on his side. And it ended up with Rey Mysterio teaming with Kevin Owens to take on Seth Rollins and his buddy Murphy. Match ended with Kevin Owens and Rey Mysterio getting the win, which meant Rey Mysterio got to choose the stipulation for their matchup at Extreme Rules, which is an eye for an eye.
This left everybody extremely confused because nobody really knows what that means. Is Ray gonna gouge Seth's eye out? Is Ray gonna be like, oh hey, my eye's fine, it's been fine this whole time, lol? Or are they just like go ahead,
okay, no.
Like, what is this, what does this mean? And I had the realization that what this probably means is somebody on Raw saw what they were doing on SmackDown and went, oh crap, we have nothing for Raw that is going to equal the sheer fuckery that will be the Wyatt Swamp fight. Because let's all be real. Whatever Bray Wyatt does, because he is in direct contact with creative for this thing, he is handling it personally, is going to be messed up as hell. And so Raw has nothing even close to equaling it. So they had to come up with something. So they're like, you know what? We're going to have Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins and fight in an eye for an eye match because we have no idea what the hell that is, but we're going to figure it out. So I would expect it to be possibly cinematic, or maybe just the Bray fight's going to be cinematic. I don't know. But either way, this should be extremely violent, and I would expect much shenanigans in it.
Much shenanigans?
Mm-hmm. All the shenanigans.
So, Monday Night Raw opened with your WWE champion, Drew McIntyre. What?
Before we even get started on this, I need to ask one question because I've binged it all weekend and I'm sure that's why it's in my brain. But I'm going to ask the question to the chat, to the audience. Tweet us. Tell us what you think. Is Drew's new shirt a Hamilton reference? Talk less. Clay Moore. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, continue.
So Drew McIntyre came out. He talked about how Dolph Ziggler gets to choose the stipulation for their match at Extreme Rules. So out came Dolph, and it's his decision, and well, it's a secret.
Can we just talk about Dolph's hair? Like, what the hell did they do to it? Other than flat iron it.
That's what they did,
but that was like some 80s level.
It's what he likes to do.
I know it's what he likes to do, but it was like fluffy.
It's what he likes to do.
It was weird. Not a bad way, just weird.
So, Ziggler talked about how McIntyre likes to stab people in the back. So brought out someone apparently that Drew has stabbed into the back. Mr. Free Agent, he's Slater.
I like the shirt.
Available in Pro Wrestling Tees.
Pimp your own merch.
That's what he did. So he talked about, Slater talked about watching WrestleMania Home, and he jumped up and screamed and cried in front of his kids. He said McIntyre's a brother, and when McIntyre got released, he called him, but when Slater got released, where were you for me? And then he said he got to talk to him on the bump, and you know the bump. One show he could talk on. He said he was fighting for his girls, not the 22 kids the world thinks he has. He said his daughters believe in their daddy. I just want you to know that I was there for you, and you weren't there for me. And he said, you talked about you petitioned for us to have a match, but instead, I'm on the unemployment line. He said he hopes their friendship can hold on, but there he was here to take an opportunity, and he told McIntyre to give him what he deserved, and what he promised him as a friend, and McIntyre was like, no, I don't want to fight you. They got shoved, and then slapped, and then
everything went to hell.
It's like,
Shirts came off.
All right, you got it. You got your fight. Come back. Break. Claymore.
1, 2, 3.
They threw a couple punches and then the Claymore. Then Ziggler was getting in Slater's face, and then McIntyre chased him off, and then Slater and McIntyre hugged, did the little hand thingy, and took a bow together.
So Heath got his final farewell, which was really nice. Also, Heath got sick, man.
He hit the gym in the COVID era.
Damn. I mean, he swole up, which is great for him. That's awesome. I mean, he looked really, really good. It was nice that he got to come back and have that one final goodbye, because that's always really awkward when things like that happen, where people just kind of get cut off, especially in this era, and they don't really have a lot to do. There's nowhere they can really go. It's difficult right now. So the fact that Keith was allowed to come back, or was able to come back, I should say, and do the thing and have that final farewell to the audience, I think was really good. It was really nice. I hope it leads to nothing but good things for him.
Hopefully it can make an impact somewhere.
Yeah. It should do well too, you know.
Things. So it was cool to see him, people wanted a full match, and I get it. I hope you're all not the same people who wanted Jinder versus Drew, because that had been something. Anyway, Sasha, go ahead. What?
I would have been interested to see a full match between Drew and Heath, just to see what they could do. I would have actually been interested to see a full feud between the two, because Heath is extremely charismatic, and I feel like he could bring a lot to a feud with Drew. I don't know how it would work. I feel like I'm not sure.
Heel Slater wouldn't work against Babyface Drew. Babyface Slater versus Heel Drew would work, but that would not be the case.
Yeah, no, you can't do it in that instance. But I would have been curious to see Slater versus McIntyre in a full feud, potentially for the title, because based on Heath's history, it's like this is his one chance. This is his one opportunity. He never really ever got a shot at the main title. He got it, you know, shot at tags, and he got shot at like US and Intercontinental, I think, and some of the other lower ranking titles, but it's like he never got to go for the world title. So to give him that opportunity to really shine that one time, I think would have been nice to see. Similar to what they did for Jinder.
With a live crowd.
With a live crowd, yeah.
A underdog Slater would work. COVID era, no.
Yeah, COVID era, no. Although online could have gotten behind him like what Drake went.
But online was, but yeah, even then you...
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
No, I know it's not the same, but I'm just saying if you wanted to, you could.
So Sasha and Bayley were going to be interviewed. They're like, no, we're not going to talk to you. We're going to talk to the people. We're going to go out there and talk to the world. So they come out and talk to the world. And they're both ready to go for the horror show at Extreme Rules. Asuka comes out and says, well, you know, I can, she beat her. I'm going to beat you. You're not good enough for me to fight me. You're not good enough. Yada, yada, yada. Normal Asuka stuff. You can't beat me. No one's ready for Asuka. So Bayley and Sasha are like, you know, Bayley was like, Sasha's ready for anyone, anything, waiting for her. And Asuka says, well, okay. She brought out Kairi Sane. A lot of talk about Kairi here at the moment, whether she's done, going back to Japan, or whatnot. But Kairi and Sasha had a hell of a match.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
And it ended in disqualification, but they had a hell of a match.
Clint Kairi Sane, like, just, like, shine just once, just... let her on the Raw roster, just let her be who she was in NXT and just let her show everybody what she's really capable of doing, because she's so talented. And I hate that, you know, she would go out in such a terrible way if she is like leaving. And I'm not saying the way that they're doing her is terrible, but like she's never really ever been given that chance on the Raw or SmackDown rosters. They just kind of brought her up and she got lost in the mix. And she was so good in NXT, and she's so ungodly talented in the ring that just once, just give it to her once, you know?
It's all up to her whether she wants to stay or go. We'll see. Because she may go back to Japan and wrestle for a year and then be done. Because she just got married, so we know what that leads to.
There's a lot of baby making going on right now. Lot of baby making.
Yeah, we'll talk about that Thursday. But our main event of the show was Asuka and Bayley. Hell of a match. You had Nikki Cross on commentary for a while till she got kicked out. And then she made her grand return in the crowd, scaring the hell out of Bayley and Sasha by coming up against the plexiglass boards and causing Bayley to get distracted, and Bayley would end up losing to Asuka. Good main event.
It was a really good main event. It was outstanding. I loved Nikki's little intrusion. They're going to have to clean that plexiglass again. Girls just can't help themselves, apparently, from messing that stuff up. But yeah, this was good. This was really good.
So that was Raw.
That was Raw. So we move on to Thursday night, where we're talking stuff.
Night 2 of the Great American Bash.
Ding! News notes, all your other favorite stuff. But yes, night 2 of the Great American Bash, where we get to talk about the spoiler.
Oh my god, the spoiler. Oh my god, the spoiler. Spoiler! Haha, we lost in the ratings, but they got a spoiler. Insert eye roll there.
He's just a little, yeah.
Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's The Rack. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. The Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. Saturday night, midnight-ish. It's CB Raiders, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. We did Boardwalk Food this past week. I have an idea for this week. We'll see if we go through with it or not. Sunday night. The preview of the horror show Extreme Rules on a show called WTR Sunday Night. Ever heard of it? 10 p.m. Eastern. we'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner.
You just can't help yourself, can you?
What?
Don't bite me.
What? Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. Anyway, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Linzward, L-A-N-S-W-A-R-D. Same thing for the Instagrams. And if you want to follow me, twitch.tv/Linzward, I would greatly appreciate it. At some point, I will possibly stream again if I can ever get my internet fixed. I know I keep saying that, but getting your internet fixed in a COVID world is an incredibly difficult thing to do. So, the best I can say is I'm working on it. So if you'd like to go follow my Twitch channel, go ahead, check it out. There's all kinds of craptastic content. I'm trying to figure out, like, what to do next for it that's not Fortnite related. I think I may do, like, a reveal of the project I've been working on lately, when I get it done, because hopefully I'm going to get it done here this month, but we'll have to see. So anyway, twitch.tv/Linzward. Go follow it if you want to.
This has been a Raw Post Show live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you Thursday night for the rec. We'll be right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Long day, everyone, is on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here, twitch.tv/WTLive and wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.